Blog Talk Radio.
Let's Talk Truth is designed to shine a light on that part of us that's hidden deep within us, and it stunts our growth. Truth is only truth if it lines up with the Word of God. Otherwise, it's merely our appearance, our appearance, our appearance.
Really wanna talk, then let's talk truth. Hey. Any situation that you face can get talked through. No problem too big, there's no problem too small at all. Trying to maintain to keep from smashing through a wall. Heavy load up on your shoulders, trying hard not to fall. Situation after situation, throwing curveballs. Got you worried about your job, or worried about your kids, or worried about the things people said or what they did. Your husband ain't doing right, or maybe it's your wife, 'cause they let the devil step in and creep up in your life. Hey, L-O-I-C-E, come and help us out, please, 'cause we all in desperate need.
Let's talk truth, let's talk truth, and let's talk truth. Hey, let's talk truth, let's talk truth, straight from me to you. Hey, no need to worry, there's a brighter day. Live in your life no matter what they say. Let's talk truth so you can understand why knowledge is power and it's only man.
This is Lois Brooks, and you just listened to Let's Talk Truth, and I am loving you with the heart of God.
Okay, good evening, everybody. This is Lois, and we're here for another dynamic show on Let's Talk Truth. Want to let you know that everyone is welcome to join in to our show, to our broadcast. For those of you that want to listen, you can do so by dialing into area code 323-580-5712. You'll be able to listen. And we're working diligently to be able to have you to call in. But for right now, we're asking you to listen to this. Tonight, Let's Talk Truth is going to explore the need for effective leadership throughout the world. We need leaders in every area of our lives, and we need effective leaders. And we're going to examine whether real leaders have the ability to change things the right way, or when the going gets tough, do they quit? And we're going to also discuss what makes an effective leader, and then we'll leave you to decide if you're one, okay, if you are an effective leader. Before we go into our show, we want to welcome into our studio, Louise is here this evening to share her expertise in her about the effective leadership. So we want to welcome Louise to the show. Okay, and we also want to welcome Shannon. She offers a great variety of insight when she comes on the show, so welcome, Shannon. Excuse me. We also want to welcome our own Mr. Motivator. He has his own show, but he loves to come by and offer us his support, so we appreciate him. Let's give Mr. Motivator a hand. Now, we're here, and we're going to kind of set the premise or set the stage for this show tonight, effective leadership. We're going to get everybody to join in. I want everybody to realize that effective, that word effective, can either come across in a positive way or a negative way. And it's the influence that that word carries. You're either influenced to do things the right way or you're influenced to do things the wrong way. That's the effectiveness of a leader. So we're talking about effective leadership being positive or negative. The only thing we encourage you is that you need to step on the side of the positive side, because a negative influence normally leads to disaster. It leads to disaster either way you put it. And before we go through, this is a Let's Talk Truth show, and before we can have any kind of truth to come out in any situation, if we're going to arrive at the truth in any given situation discussed on this show, we have to encompass it with the Word of God. As I say at the top of every show, I can't or I'm not here to actually preach to you. I'm not trying to preach to you because everyone have their own various preachers, teachers. But what I will say, if what we're talking about or what you're trying to accomplish or whatever it is you're trying to learn in life, it has to line up with the Word of God. And if it doesn't, then we're merely having our opinion. And our opinion doesn't amount to much because truth is only God's truth. So we're going to start out by kind of setting the stage for an effective leader. And we're going to discuss these two points. First point being, if you feel that you are a leader and you want to be an effective leader and you want to be an effective positive leader, we've already decided we're going to throw out the negative side of leadership. But if you want to be a positive leader, an effective leader, the first thing you have to do before you step into that arena is count out the cost. What is it going to cost you to walk the way you should walk in order to be an effective leader? What is it going to cost you? We're going to discuss that. And the next thing we're going to discuss is, before I accept this role as leader, as an effective leader, can I carry that load? Do I have the ability? Am I capable of carrying the load that it's called for if I'm going to be an effective leader? So these are two things that we're going to discuss first. Then we're going to move on to other things, because when we sum it up, we're going to sum up the fact that an effective leader is what is so much needed in this world today. This is why we're spiraling out of control in every aspect of our life, because we do not have effective leaders out there. So which one of you want to discuss those two things we talked about first? Carrying the ability or capable of carrying a heavy load and counting out the cost for accepting that position. Okay, any of you?
Okay, to be an effective leader, like you said, you will need to know that whenever you step into a role, you're going to measure out the cost, which means that there's going to be some unpopular decisions you may have to make as being a leader.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you're not going to always fall into the most popular mold because of some of the decisions you have to make.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be willing to take that stand and be ready to stand by yourself for some time.
That's right.
And also, be effective leader, you also have to know that one person can't do everything. You have to be able to delegate
mm-hmm.
some responsibilities to some of the other people as well.
That's right. That's right. And that's something a lot of people have a problem is that delegating, and especially people with control issues.
Mm-hmm.
And being effective leadership, this is going to make us look at ourselves as to whether or not we do have control issues. So some of us don't want to delegate because we want to be the one to do everything. So, Mr. Motivator, what do you say?
Well, I agree with what Louise said just then. I think President Obama is a great example of a leader who's doing the best he can to get things implemented, but not everyone wants to work with you sometimes as a leader, because you have people that feel like they should be the leader.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they don't have the experience, maybe they don't have the skills, but sometimes people feel like that they should be the leader.
Mm-hmm.
We watched the Super Bowl game this week, and I've watched a lot of my friends, and some of them were, you know, yelling at the coaches and, you know, and the players and everything, and it seemed like It was so simple. If it was me, I would have done this or done that. Now, you can criticize a player. You can criticize the coach. But until you walk in their shoes, until you get out there and experience what they're experiencing, you may not be able to be as effective as you think you are.
Exactly.
And it's the same thing what I see with the president and other people in positions of authority. Sometimes people resist leadership.
Exactly.
One of my teachers used to say all the time when all of us wanted to go out and he said, who's going to quarterback? Everybody would put up their hand. And the coach would say, now we got too many Chiefs and not enough Indians.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Shannon, would you have something to say on those two?
Yes, I think that leadership is a bigger word than even a spell. Because when you're leading, number one, first you have to know how to follow. Because it's somebody always leading the leader.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I think that everybody wants the clout that comes along with running something or leading something or being ahead of something, but don't know how to handle the stress that comes along with it. It's easy to say, oh, I'm the chief financial officer for a Fortune 500 company, but can you handle that position? See, everybody's clamoring to be a leader, clamoring to run and lead and run something, but what comes along with it? Do you have the credentials, number one?
Mm-hmm.
Are you able to make, as Sister Louise said, executive decisions
mm-hmm.
that may not always favor everybody? You can't please everybody. But let's bring into the realm of Christ. People tend to think that if you're in Christ and you're a leader, that means you're a pushover, that you have to just take
go along with everything.
Or whatever somebody hands out to you. And that's not true. Being a leader, of course, I'm not saying badger somebody or put judgment upon them, even though you know what the word says is right. And they're not living circumspectly with that. You can't go up to somebody and say, you got that lying spirit on your sister. You need to have it cast off. That's not your job. See, that's what people who, I've known leaders in the church to do things like that.
Mm-hmm.
If you go tell somebody something and you're a leader in the church, God has already delivered a major way. So it'll be received when you tell that person. If you get met with anger, it wasn't even your time to tell them, but you just had to feel like you were leading something. You kind of, I'll tell them because I am the chief evangelist on Saturdays and this is my duty. A lot of us in the church do that, and we run people away from the church because we're failing to be effective leaders.
Okay.
If I'm going to lead you, I'm going to lead you by example. I'm not going to sit up here. I can't preach to you and say, see, sister, you shouldn't have lied. See, I know you're lying right now. If you know that sister lying, just, you know, oh, really?
There's a way God handles it that's not.
Right. God ain't going to put nobody on Front Street.
Mm-mm. No.
So what you do is like my pastor told me, if you know somebody's sitting up lying, just put your hand on them, like, really? Ooh, while you're putting your hand on, pray for them. Say, Lord,
mm-hmm.
release that lying spirit off that woman or that man. You know, or something like that. But everybody wants to just, Ms. Motivator said, everybody wants to be a chief. If everybody in the village got a headdress full of feathers, who's going to fight the war?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. If we got an army full of generals, who's going to fight the war?
Exactly.
You have to have soldiers. And if you be good at what you're supposed to do, if you're trying to do something somebody else do good at your job.
Now, this brings me back to the bottom line. I believe that effective leaders are first, a leader is born.
Mm-hmm.
You can't make a leader. A leader is born. Now, what he or she, how they live and how they follow and how they interact gives them the knowledge and the wisdom to become an effective leader. But it starts in the home.
Mm-hmm.
It starts first in the home. And I was talking to my son and my daughter earlier, and I know that they're adults.
Mm-hmm.
But if I may say this word, it's
it's not a correct word. It's not even a word, as my granddaughter would say. It's not even. But I'm more adulterer than they are. I'm more of an adult than they are. So I've gone through a lot. I've seen a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And what we have to realize, when if you are an effective leader, you have to be an effective follower as well. So if I'm leading and I'm giving instruction, if you are an effective leader, you're going to be first lend an effective ear. You're going to listen. And you can't be angry with instruction. You know, if you're an effective leader and you're being corrected, why do we take that as bashing or fighting? I'm not fighting you to correct you. Wouldn't you rather be corrected at home so that when you go out, your leadership is more effective?
Yeah.
And I think that's what a lot of us, where a lot of us do wrong. We let our correction become fatal. You know, it's a prick against me. You're knocking me down. You're doing this to me. Well, that means you need a little bit more maturity in being a good leader.
Yeah.
Now, let me say something to you. Young people and old people fall in the same category.
Mm-hmm.
When you were a kid, your parents lead you, right?
Mm-hmm.
They dressed you. They did everything to you. And they took you to church whether you wanted to go or not. They took you to the grocery store, whether you wanted to go or not.
That's right.
Wherever they went, they took you, and you didn't have a voice in it.
That's right.
Well, that's good. That's well and good. But there comes a time an effective leader is going to stop and listen to what somebody has to say about where you're taking them.
Yeah.
Now, that's the same thing with old people. If any of you out there are thinking about getting old, think about this. Who's going to be your effective leader? Who are you going to follow? I pulled this scripture from the Bible today, and I did it in the King James Version, and I did it in the Amplified Version.
Mm-hmm.
And it was talking about the Amplified Version. This is coming from John 21 and 18.
Okay.
Says, I assure you, most solemnly I tell you, when you were young, you girded yourself. In other words, you put on your own belt and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And you walked about wherever you pleased to go.
Mm-hmm.
But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will put a girdle around you and carry you where you do not wish to go. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're guilty of doing that, then you're not in that effective leadership.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of times we lead based on our convenience.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's convenient for me to do it now.
Mm-hmm.
But it may not be convenient for you to go right then.
Yes.
It may not be convenient for you to take part in that particular project right now.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, I'm the leader, so it's what I need to do right now.
Yeah.
See, that's what that's talking about. We've got to learn how to effectively lead the youth as well as the old people.
Right.
Because everybody can tell you something. If this is making me uncomfortable, it's okay. It may be making you uncomfortable. We're going to go now.
Yeah.
You know, how effective is that? You're going to lose something in that transition.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of leader is that? That will say, you're going to do it now because I think it's the right thing to do. But what if it's causing me harm? Have you stopped to look at that?
Yeah.
But it's always just because I said it. I'm in this position right now. Because everybody moves on their own agenda.
Yeah.
And if you are an effective leader, what are you going to do? You're going to survey the area that you're leading, and you're going to try to make decisions based on the comfort of everybody.
Yes.
And I tell people all the time, before you step out to do something, pray. Do you know the scripture says the steps of a good man is ordered by whom?
The Lord.
Ordered by the Lord. Now, do you think if God is ordering my steps and I'm a prayerful person and I'm doing what God say do, everybody, you may not understand what I'm going, but you're going to go along with it. Because God is not going to set up something that causes discord. You know, so this is the things we have to, this is part of that counting out the cost we've got to do to be effective leaders. Okay, Mr. Motivator.
You hit it right on the button. A good leader has to be a good listener. And good leaders are smart. A good leader is wise. In fact, I came across a scripture over in the book of Proverbs, chapter 10, I think verse 8. And it says, the wise man is glad to be instructed, but a self-sufficient fool falls flat on his face.
Exactly.
A good leader wants to take advantage of good instruction. He wants to obey instructions. He wants to understand instructions.
Mm-hmm.
But someone who's not wise, someone who's very foolish, avoids instruction.
Because you can't know it all. You can't know everything. And if I've sat on this porch and looked out at this traffic for 30 years,
yeah,
and you come sit out here and been here for 5 minutes, don't you think I could tell you a little bit about how that traffic is going to flow than you can?
That's right.
So you have to give leadership the opportunity to be an effective leader. And that's by following, being a good follower. Let me tell you something one thing that I think about leadership when we're in, right now we're going through some things in the United States of America.
Yes.
Everyone is talking about gun control.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to gun control. Let me tell you what I did. I printed this from the magazine, not from the magazine, I'm sorry, but it's from the Examiner newspaper.
Yeah.
And it says that Chicago mayor asked banks to cut off gun makers. Now, we have a leader.
Mm-hmm.
This is a leader in a big city,
mm-hmm,
that doesn't have a clue about what it takes to do what he is supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have a clue. Now, he's going to sit up here and write letters to the different banks. See, in order to have your way at gun control, you have not sat down and counted out the cost. You're fixing to cost people jobs.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You're fixing to put companies out of business.
Mm-hmm.
You haven't counted the cost out, and you are supposed to be an effective leader.
Mm-hmm.
How did you get in the position to lead that many people? And he's sending in letters to say that he wants Bank of America and several other banks. He's sending out letters saying, cut off these people. Stop giving them their line of credit. Bank of America gives one person, according to this, $25 million line of credit, and then another person $60 million line of credit in order to run a business. Now, if an effective leader, how are you going to put the whole country at risk just because of something you personally feel and you have not giving it thought to what you're doing? And I believe that when elected officials,
mm-hmm,
go to this magnitude, to force somebody to vote the way you want them to vote, when you forcing that like that, not only, I think it's, not only is it unethical, it would border to me on being illegal.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're using your power as an elected official to form opinions in someone else's mind. And you're not realizing what you're doing. Now, let me say this. I'm all for controlling whatever needs to be controlled. But I don't believe gun control is what we need to control. We want to leave the most obvious thing out of life and think we're going to plug it up with all these other things and fix it. Taking away guns is not going to stop people from going crazy.
No, that's true.
Mm-hmm. If I can't kill you with a gun, if I'm intent to kill you, I'm going to kill you with something else.
That's true. There are a million ways to take a life.
Listen, I did that. Let me tell you this. I went to this gentleman's blog page. He have people send in different things. And this is for the 2011 deaths. There was 195,000 deaths by medical malpractice.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Are you listening to me?
Yes.
So, what are we going to do? Ban the doctors? What are we going to do? Shut the doctors down? There was 12,000 deaths related to drunk drivers. So, are we going to go in and cut the lines of credit for the business that manufacture liquor and beer? And are we going to shut down car makers? Don't make any more cars because people are going to get drunk and drive them. Do you see how asinine that sounds? 650 of those deaths was by knives.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Okay.
Listen, 496 deaths was caused by hammers.
Well,
if your spouse ain't asking,
hammer them to death.
Why?
Do you see what I'm saying? Now, do you see the analogy? Do you see why this mayor did not count out the cost?
Yes.
Because deaths are going to occur, and it has nothing to do with your weapon of choice.
I agree.
It has so much to do with people are cuckoo-headed. First, you don't want nobody to pray. Don't pray when you come in here. Don't pray. If you don't pray, who's going to take over? Evil is going to take over.
Yes.
This is all like the whole thing, you know, you look at my left hand, you don't know what the right hand over here doing.
Yes.
People are so focused on things like a lot of the leaders and a lot of the big churches, they are, we need to get the gun control. No. Maybe if some of y'all step from out the shoe store and getting your big hats on Sundays, and head to out here and talk to these folks, you know, with like it, in Grand Prairie, Texas, a man walked in his job and just started shooting people. It wasn't that guns. If he just set the gun down, the gun wasn't going to go off and just start killing people.
Mm-mm.
It's the man behind it. Now, gun control don't mean a hill of beans. Because you can go buy a gun. I can go buy a gun right now for $25. And it's called a throwaway.
Because
mm-hmm. It's got, so probably got other bodies on it. You buy it, do your dirt, throw it away. That's what they call a throwaway.
Yeah.
So it gun control, it will never be a such thing as gun control. You can make as many laws as you want to and say what's legal and not legal. If there was nothing illegal that was still not being done, it wouldn't be, the jails wouldn't be crowded. Drugs are illegal, but I see more crackheads running around than anything.
Mm-hmm.
So you can say, oh, we're going to control this, we're going to do this. Being a leader means you need to think about what's really going to help people. People are going crazy because of the economy,
mm-hmm.
the lack of money,
yes.
the lack of love in a household,
mm-hmm.
the lack of, you can fill it in wherever you want to fill it in.
Mm-hmm.
Because the human mind and the human mind is so fragile. It is a thin line between sanity and insanity. And you don't know what a person's going through that may just push them over the edge.
Exactly.
It may not be a gun they can get their hands on. What about the gentleman who's going to blow up downtown?
Mm-hmm.
He had a bomb. How you ordering C4? What if the government couldn't stop him in time, he'd have blown us all up? I'd have surely died.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So what about that? I mean, you've been looking at things, they focus on the wrong thing. Let's worry about Yes, do I feel sorry for all those little children?
Yes, I do.
That lost their lives. My God, my heart goes out to them. And I don't even have children, but I can't understand how you can sit there and look at your little 5 and 6 year old get shot more than one time, their little fragile body.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus, that's hard for me to even fathom. I couldn't even go to that school anymore, pass by, if I lived there. But at the same token, has anybody ever stopped to think? At what point? I looked at them, boy, the news was on it. Well, what kind of guy was he? They interviewed a girl who knew him, and she ain't talked to him since high school.
Yeah.
He was one of those. He was really to himself. He was this, this, and that. You could identify the crazy in that young man when he was young. But had the leaders in the school been effective, you could come in there with your finger bruised. We're going to call CPS because he got to be getting beat at home. No, that little withdrawn kid at the back of the classroom that is sitting to himself, they have no friends, nobody to talk to. Why is that young man feeling all sheltered? You can say, that's just his personality. The average person don't act like that. Even the quietest person have some personality. You can see that in advance. You can see that kind of stuff in advance. So the leaders should have been effective and saying, hey, let me, you know, take a hold of this child and see what's going on.
Exactly.
But nobody was in effect. Everybody just sitting back doing what they feel that they wanted to do. Oh, as long as he passing, I don't care. You spend most of your time in school. Our schools are failing us. Why? Because we have ineffective leaders.
Mm-hmm.
Our churches are failing us. Why? Because we have ineffective leaders. In every aspect, businesses, whatever, the world, period,
have
ineffective leaders. Because if I make a decision as a leader of my household, I don't make a decision that's going to affect just me. It affects everybody.
Everybody.
Everybody. And I think we have all sat back and we have forgotten that whole point. Let's get to the root of it. What was wrong with that young man? See, everybody wants to sugarcoat and put something else. You know, look at his, look at the dancing ball. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain.
Mm-hmm.
This is not the Wizard of Oz.
Mm-mm.
You can't fool me. I'm not going to fall for that green head and smoke.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to look behind the curtain.
Yeah.
But we, none of us look behind the curtain. We just jump on the bandwagon and start running.
Mm-hmm.
Now everybody's screaming gun control. They have a debate every 5 minutes. We need to control the guns. We need to control. No, control the idiots with the guns.
Exactly.
How about that? If I'm a legal citizen and I want to have a firearm, I'm a female by myself. I need protection because this world is going just haywire.
Mm-hmm.
And if some big rusty man walk up on me, I'm going to need to blow him away.
That's right.
I'm not going to sit here and be tussling with some big old man. Plus, diseases out there. You could get some blood squirting in your mouth. Like the young lady who the man attacked at the red light, jumped through her window with her baby. Blood got in her mouth. She got to get an HIV test for the next 2 years because he the man had HIV, but he was on drugs and wired up. So if she had had a handgun, she could have gone into that before all that happened. It's a legitimate reason for things. But everybody want to just say, oh, we need to cut that out. If anything, sometimes something tragic happens, they want to cut that out. Everything you just read is tragic.
Mm-hmm.
We're tragedies all the time.
And the thing of it is, the reason we're having this show, because effective leadership has to be everywhere. And if you don't have it, that's exactly what you have. You have chaos. Chaos is everywhere, in the homes, like she said, in the church, like she said, on the job, like she said, in the White House, in Congress. It's ineffective leaders. That's what causes. When you get to the point where your children don't obey you, Mr. Motivator,
yes,
as a leader, you need to be more effective. There's a way. There's a way for everything to happen. There is a way.
Yes.
And what Satan does, he tries to set you up. He wants to tell you that everything that you're doing, you're wrong. You're so wrong. You should not do that. No, we have to worry about and do the things that's effective for everybody. That's what we have to do. Now, Mr. Motivator, I know that you have some input on what we're talking about.
Well, I agree with you. I think that leaders have to be responsible, and we can't be childish. We have to think about others and not just ourselves. If you're crossing a bridge, you're on the bridge, and after you decide, hey, I'm almost across the bridge. I think I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to cut the bridge. Before you cut that bridge, you got to think, are there some other people on that bridge?
Mm-hmm.
Is there somebody that you know that may need to go across that same bridge?
Exactly.
Or maybe you might need to cross that
same
bridge.
And whether you know them or not, you know you weren't the only person on that side.
Yes.
So when you go across, you got to leave it open for somebody else to come across.
There you go. And that's where some leaders aren't being responsible at. They only think about themselves.
Exactly.
Let's control this and control that. This is what I would do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but now when the shoe is on the other foot, okay, and let's say there's some their life is being threatened,
mm-hmm.
and there's someone following them around,
yeah,
and are following their children around. Hey, then they're not talking. Hey, let's go ahead and stop all the gun manufacturers. Let's put them out of business.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get rid of every weapon that's on the face of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
When the snake is pointing right at you and get ready to bite you, you're going to think, I need to get out of the way or I need to defend myself.
That's
you're
right.
Not going to be thinking about, I don't want to stop this rattlesnake from attacking me.
Exactly. We have got to get to the point, you guys, we've just got to promote effective leadership.
Yes.
It has to start someplace. And if in my home, I've got to start it in my home or stop taking shortcuts. You know, we want to take shortcuts to everything, and that makes us ineffective. It doesn't give us the effectiveness we need. We have to make sure that we are effective, they're effective leaders over our children once our children leave home. Our children that go to school, they spend the majority of their time in school. And if there is no effective leadership there, then they fall through the crack. Because you have to realize our children are vulnerable.
Yes, they are.
They are vulnerable. They cannot attack life like we can. It's hard for us, but we expect our children to survive it. And we just, it can't happen. And I don't care. I tell people all the time, I don't care if your child is 50 years old. If you're still living, that's still your child. And you still need to give sound advice. You still need to give that love, that protection around them, whatever it is you can do. Look how old we are. But God insists that I come to him as a child. You know, and he never stops loving me. He never stops nurturing me. He never stops cuddling me to make sure that I'm on the right path. But we seem to grow up. Our children grow up, and we just take our hands off of them and just let them go.
I agree with that. What you said just then, Lois, I think that really touched me, because we need to look at our kids. We need to be concerned.
Mm-hmm.
And if everyone, all the other kids are playing with games and doing things, and little Carl is in the room, and he's got little boxes with dynamite in them, and he's reading books about explosives,
mm-hmm.
and he's looking at shows or movies where people are getting burned, and he's laughing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, little Carl has some issues.
He has a problem,
and he's got a problem. We need to start thinking something's not right with little Carl. Let's get him some help.
Mm-hmm.
Let's try to find someone that can talk to little Carl. But no. Most people are the now, they look the other way.
Exactly.
You know, little Carl is doing things that are uncommon. They're not ordinary. And you pretend everyone else is there in church listening to the little Carl is sitting there, and he's in church with something that he has no business dealing with.
He's cutting up something.
He's cutting up something and doing something diabolical.
Mm-hmm.
And you're acting like, oh, that's my baby.
But see, that's the whole point, and we're talking about it. If we don't start being effective leaders, then our leadership is going to be taken away from us.
Yes.
If you will notice, anything that is abnormal there's an organization for it.
Yes, yes, there is.
And there's an organization to pacify or to perpetuate something that's not quite right.
Right.
And they call those alternative living.
Yes.
I wonder if anyone has ever looked up and defined the word alternative. You know, I did, you guys.
Okay.
And the definition for alternative is a way of life considered unconventional or not traditional, non-traditional.
Mm-hmm.
What is traditional? And this is non-traditional according to a social or cultural norm.
Mm-hmm.
So now, if my alternative is different from traditional, I believe that tradition has been set. Our lives have been set traditionally. What is an alternative? What was an alternative for Jesus dying on the cross?
Not done.
Not done.
Mm-hmm.
Which meant we wouldn't be here.
That's correct.
So, but any time you want to see now, our children are being led because there are not effective leaders, effective leadership. Our children are being led to alternative lifestyles.
Yes.
If little Jimmy likes to blow up things, you come on over here. You can blow them up over here.
Yes.
We'll keep you, because I know you can't stay around your mom and dad because you like to blow up stuff and they don't like you to.
Uh-huh.
So we need to stop and realize, you know, there's something that's so encompassing about us as individuals that we are pulled into different arenas.
Yes.
Because we want to be satisfied, or they want us to be satisfied being of non-effect.
Yes.
The church, there's an alternative, and we're not doing traditional gospel.
Yes.
What other kind of gospel is it? I mean, it's either God, Christ, or the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
But we're not doing those three. This young lady called me and said it was no longer the Trinity. It was four. I said, no, you know, I'm serious. We have all sorts of leadership out there. And we've got to be on point. We've got to stop looking, as Shannon said, at that green ball over there in the corner. Stop looking at that thing and look at life. Look at what you're involved in.
I agree.
Because if you don't, we're going to be consumed.
Yes.
And we're not going to have a good time.
That's right.
We're going to be headed down the wrong path in the wrong direction.
That's right. I think they use the word sometimes a fanatic. These are people that have gone overboard.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But we should take notice and look. How fanatical is this person that we're hanging around?
Mm-hmm.
If they're doing something that's detrimental, not only to themselves but to others, we should get away, or we should call for help with that individual.
Exactly. But, you know, we're so into ourselves. Number one, we don't want people to know we need help. There's just no way. We don't want people to know we need help. So we will just push it and perpetrate and go on until something blows up, and then, oh, I didn't know it was going to blow up that high. But we need to stop.
Yeah.
We need to stop. We need to realize that I'm put in this position to be an effective leader. Someone has got to listen to me, and I'm going to keep at it until they hear me.
Yes.
And that's why, earlier, at the beginning of the show, I asked, are real leaders, when the going gets tough, do real leaders quit?
Yes.
Because I've thought about a million times quitting. It came over my mind today. You just need to quit, because nobody wants to hear you. You know what you're saying is sound, but nobody wants to listen.
But I've always heard that quitters never win, and winners
never
quit.
That's true, but a lot of our leaders do. Look at the man that ran off and left the people on the cruise boat who was sinking.
Mm-hmm.
And they emphatically told him, don't leave the ship. Oh, I got to go. He left all the people on that cruise boat to die. And he let our leaders leave us anyway when they don't make sound decisions.
He was not a leader in the first place. He shouldn't have been there.
Exactly, but that's what the majority of our leaders that we have shouldn't be there. But they're in the position anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, it's not what you know. It's who you know.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing's effective. I can think back when I was in school, teachers were all in your business. You know, like just like the song said at the beginning. If I got in trouble down the street, oh, Miss Johnson got onto my behind, popped my butt, and sent me home. And then what happened? My mama gave me the same whooping. You shouldn't have been down there acting no fool. I didn't raise you like that. But nowadays, if you say something to little Pookie, you got to whoop Pookie's mama and the granny because they're both coming up there with their hair tied up and some Vaseline ready to go.
That's true. That's true.
Now, you have no leaders. None. None. Mm-hmm. No one. Everybody's in a position. Most people are in the position of a leader, but should not be. They're ill-equipped to handle anything above being just a toilet cleaner.
You're right. Now, I think I should, it's only for, I wanted to clear it up about the gentleman who ran away, who ran off the boat and left the people and everything. Now, one thing that they left off, I think they didn't mention that there was someone calling, said they had a Krispy Kreme donut special. And it was the reason why he headed out.
It's just people don't, like she said, people aren't in the, they are in the wrong position.
Mm-hmm.
You heard of a, I mean, the scripture says spiritual wickedness
in high
places. In high
places.
Yes. You're in the wrong place.
Exactly.
And I know when I'm on the air like this, I shouldn't point out anybody in particular.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm wondering who hires the people at Walmart.
Ooh.
Listen, if I go to Walmart one more time, I mean, you have to shop at Walmart your money. That you have to go to Walmart, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why do I have to go there and have the leaders just run my blood pressure up? Just because they're not equipped and they're not training their people.
Because you need some clothes.
No smile. No nothing.
Yes.
No customer service skills.
Ooh, no. So why are
hello,
you?
Hello, ma'am. How are you doing today? Is this everything for you? Oh, I'm glad that you found everything okay. All right. Well, wonderful. Young kid said, how you doing, ma'am? All right. Your color is then. I mean, is this just a big debit credit or food stamp? That's right here. And heaven forbid, if you ask them where something is, you can say, excuse me, ma'am, can you tell me where? Oh, I don't need work in that department.
Yeah.
I don't need work in that. You might want to go there and find somebody. No, your thing in customer service to say, you know what, I don't work in that department, but I tell you what, let me go help you find someone who can and help you with that. But, you got to go over there and look there, because I don't know. What do you know? My mother went in the store and asked that man, she said, excuse me, where are your clothes? She asked me for cloves of garlic, was it?
I was asking for the little clove sticks
that
you, for cooking.
And he has another saying, ma'am, the clothes is right there. They got men's and women's clothes. And she's trying to be sweet. Don't tell him nothing. She's like, thank you very much, young man. Thank you. She said clothes.
But the thing of it is, he wasn't responsible. His leader was responsible for having him in that position.
You're right. It all goes back to responsibility of a leader. Now, who are the leaders? A leader is someone who's supposed to be a great follower.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be a good leader if you're not a good follower.
Exactly.
The captains of the football, basketball teams, leaders. The managers and most of the corporate companies, leaders. You know, they're supposed to be leaders. And if you don't put good leaders in proper positions,
you.
See, some people put leaders there just because they like the person. That person has no leadership skill about them.
But
a lot of people have miserable personalities.
Oh, yes. Amen. Yes. Amen.
But they put people in those positions. Yes. That's a good old boy. You know, I like Bully, and Bully is, he's just awesome. And we're going to make sure Bully gets that position.
Listen.
Okay.
Now, you don't make no waves and do whatever he thinks. I do
believe he's famous. I was in a Walmart store. Now, I don't want any of you guys to think I'm cheap or anything like that, because Walmart has some good things. But I was in a Walmart store, and I was looking for T-shirts, a particular kind of T-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
So the lady was there. She was selling T-shirts. And I said, pardon me, could you tell me where your T-shirts are? I said, they are single T-shirts, but they have the pocket right here. In them. Oh, but our next to the warmer pants. So I scratched my head. Well, what a pray tale of the warmer pants. I didn't know where the warmer pants were.
Yes.
So why would she tell me? Oh, they over there where the warmer pants.
Over there, where? Outside, maybe?
Ma'am, I'm sorry. I don't know where the warmer pants are.
It's all about being a good leader and training people to offer good customer service. But I think as consumers, we should educate ourselves about the products and know what products are good and which ones are not. Now, I know, Lord, sometimes you probably you shop around different stores like Walmart and various stores. You have certain types of maybe cereals that you like, and I know maybe you might like Captain Crunch, but what I did, I went to the dollar store, and I found Captain Crunch. Captain Crunch tastes just as good as Captain Crunch. and so, you know, it cost me 50 cents for some Captain Crunch, and I'm saving money.
You save money, all right. Get one like this. But you know what? Sometimes customer service has a lot to do with our ill-equipped effective leadership,
mm-hmm.
You know, the lack of. Just like Shannon said earlier, she said it's one word that fits every category, lack, L-A-C-K.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You lack this, you lack that. And you have to, if you're going to be purpose-driven. Everybody, ooh, I'm purpose-driven girl. I ain't so purpose-driven.
No, people are dollar-driven. And I feel if you're going to take on the position of a leader, do your job that you've taken on.
Yes.
Do it. I look at teachers nowadays, and it's okay and acceptable for children to stand up with, Dean. When I was coming up in school, we could not say, and Dean. We mispronounced the word. They taught us how to say it correctly. Because if you get out there in corporate America, I'm sorry, Mr. Jim Smith doesn't know what and Dean means.
Mm-mm.
And we talk and type just like we write. It's like we, you know, the same way we talk, we type the same way.
Yeah.
That ain't where that is.
D-A-T.
Yes, that.
D-A-T,
that. This, D-I-S. Not this. We have this thing twisted up. I mean, people become teachers nowadays just for the vacation. I know because I thought about it. Being off in the summer, you know, off in 2 weeks in the winter.
Get paid.
Well, you don't get paid unless you take some extracurricular. I looked at all that.
Oh,
all right. And I thought about it. I mean, what? If I'm a teacher, I'm impacting the lives of hundreds of students, possibly thousands.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to be serious about the job. Why would I take that on?
Mm-hmm.
Because I am. Really, I have the ability. I would have a child more than a parent. I have the ability to mold the mind of whomever I'm around,
mm-hmm.
to make a significant impact. And really, that's what leaders fail to realize. As a leader, you have to be able to make a significant impact on whomever you're in charge of.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you can't, you know, cultivate or grow whomever you're over,
mm-hmm.
you're only as strong as your weakest link.
Amen.
Yeah.
Oh.
And if you're not leading effectively, your weakest link is real weak.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Your line looking real bad. So, I mean, this is how it is. You have, as a leader, you have to be on top. I manage, so I have a team I'm responsible for. If I have someone on my team that is not performing up to par, as a leader, it is my job to spend more time with that person, to groom them, teach them this is okay. This is what it has to be like. I can't just throw them to the woods with, if she ain't doing it, because at the end of the day, it reflects back on the leader.
On the leader.
Mm-hmm. On the leader.
And that's the bottom line. Listen, we have 4 minutes before we come to a close, but I want to thank each and every one of you for being here and to share in this broadcast talking about effective leadership. And I hope that everyone that listens will actually take heed to being within yourself and know whether or not, if you're in a leadership position, just say to yourself, I want to be an effective leader. Mm-hmm. An effective leader means sometimes you have to take the back seat and push your team. You have to sometimes carry the team on your shoulders. You have to sometimes be talked about. You have to sometimes be lied on.
Yes.
You have to sometimes have someone say terrible things to you. But all in all, remember, I am put in this position, and I'm not running away from it. I'm going to stand my ground, and I'm going to be effective because what I produce reflects who I say that I am. And in order to make people believe that you are an effective leader, you've got to be standing there when the dust settles. Stand there. When it's all said and done, the dust settles, the fog is gone, I'm standing here. And across my chest is my leadership badge, and I'm an effective leader because though everyone may not agree with me, everyone has joined hands to help me and to push and go forward. And that's what we have to all be considered and learn. I want to thank...
One quick thing. Also, would a good leader have to resist from putting off their socks and shoes in the break room?
Yes. Okay. They have to do that.
All right, well, you go ahead.
Because everyone, like I say, you have to be effective.
Yes.
You have to be effective because what you do, everyone is going to feel like they can do it.
That's right.
So I want y'all to understand. Thank you, Mr. Motivator, for being here.
Thank you for your input.
You
I
are
love
so
you,
awesome.
Boss. You're my friend. You're the most beautiful, awesome, smart, talented, incredible.
We're going to let
your host I've ever
We're going to let him take the rest of these 2 minutes talking about
whatever.
Me. But we thank you for being here. Louise, thank you for being here. Thank you for your input. You're always about one of the first to start talking, and you have some really good input. Thank you for being here. Shannon, you are just awesome.
Uh-huh.
We just thank you for and we know that you... So we just thank you for being here and knowing that you're just an awesome person. And listen, y'all listen to, go to my blog page, loisbullock.blogspot.com. You can do that. Write me at letstalktruth333@yahoo.com. You can follow me on Twitter at letstalktruth33. So we just thank you for that. And listen, y'all be prayerful. We have other things that's coming into the making, and we're still pushing our magazine to come out. Every time I say we're coming out, something else happens. But how many of you know that everything good is worth waiting for? So we want y'all to do that. And some of y'all write me sometimes. I get a lot of letters, but I want to hear from some new people. So with that said, thank you again. Thank you for all of our listeners. We have people that's listening from all around the country. Thank you, and a thank you for the ones that's right here close to home. And we're just looking forward to you being
a guest on our show one day. Those of you, write in, give me your ideas, and I'd love to have you on the show, the old guest and the new guest. So we just thank all of you, okay? And with that said, this is Lois Bullock, Let's Talk Truth, and I am loving you with the heart of God. Good night.